in association with Newsarama, welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. On this edition, it's all talk about Watchmen with the legendary co-creator, artist Dave Gibbons. We caught up with Dave at a London comic convention this past weekend, and we discussed the Watchmen motion comic, which has released its second issue at iTunes and Amazon Video on demand. Dave also tells us about his upcoming book, Watching the Watchmen, to be released October 21st, and his take on the 2009 Zack Snyder film. We'll also talk to Dave about his recent conversations with Watchmen co-creator Alan Moore, who's been very public concerning his negative feelings about the 2009 film. We'll also talk about his graphic novel, The Originals, the Superman annual he and Alan Moore created for The Man Who Has Everything, and his upcoming John Constantine story in Hellblazer number 250. This edition of Word Balloon is brought to you by the Windy City Comic Con, which is happening in Chicago, October 25th. A great lineup of stars are going to be there. Some wonderful artists, including Don Kramer of Batman fame, Scotty Young, Mike Norton, Will Pfeiffer will be there, Gene Ha, Tim Seeley, and dozens more. It's all happening again Saturday, October 25th. At the center on Halsted Avenue from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. The community center is in the heart of Chicago's north side, just blocks from Wrigley Field. Tickets are still available and are only $5. Free gift packs for the first 500 attendees. To purchase tickets, to see a complete list of guests, exhibitors, and retailers, or find out additional information on the show, visit the Windy City Comic Con website at windycitycomiccon.com. Our conversation with Dave Gibbons begins with a look at his involvement in the Watchmen motion comic.
Well, I really kind of consult on it and kind of keep an eye on what they're doing. They've obviously got great expertise in doing this kind of material. They tend to show me the script, first of all, which is really just a kind of lightly edited transcript of the dialogue and so on from the comic. So I get a chance to comment on that. Then they show me a rough animatic, which is the thing, you know, just cut to time so mm-hmm. that they can see if it's going to work in the time scale, and then we get maybe another two passes of the animation with it progressively becoming more polished, and I offer my thoughts at each point, and then hopefully at the end we arrive at something that we're all happy with.
Your style of panel design and sequential progression, you know, is a hallmark for comics, and so many people look to Watchmen as a great example of storytelling where no panel is wasted, no page is wasted. It's interesting. I was kind of fearful that what you brought to the table as an artist might get lost by adding motion to these images. But I'm pleased to say that I found it very entertaining. And I wonder from your standpoint if that was a fear on your point as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, I must say my first reaction when I saw some test footage of this was, well, that's kind of good, but does it really need to be done? And I had to think about it a bit, and I actually showed the material to several friends and members of my family, you know, who I knew would give me an honest opinion of it. And the interesting thing was that the people who were kind of in the business, who were animators or involved with computer games, got into the kind of technicalities of it. But the, as it were, civilians that I showed it to absolutely loved it. They thought it was so entertaining and they wanted to see more. And I think I was convinced by that, you know, that rather than be kind of aloof and purist about it, that this was a way of treating the material that, if it was done properly, could be very entertaining and could attract people to the source material. And actually become a different, what should we say, a different way of getting to know Watchmen. So that was kind of my take on it. And since I've seen what they've done, particularly as I've had, you know, seen the animation get progressively more and more polished, I actually like it very much indeed. And I think that my particular style that I did Watchmen in was designed to be very accessible and very clear, so that it tends to be, you know, fairly straightforward line drawing with flat color on it. And I think that actually translates very well to animation. You know, it translates very, very cleanly, I think.
When people read and reread Watchmen, they suddenly realize, I guess the nomenclature today is Easter eggs of so many little bits of business that are going on in the background, characters popping up. It seems like, again, they've been able to translate that well in motion in this presentation.
Mm. Well, I think so. You know, I mean, there are lots of layers of depth in Watchmen, and the thing that I did when I drew it was to try and keep things in order of precedence so that the story was always very, very clear and you were always looking at the main protagonist. But as it were, out of the corner of your eye, you would see other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly so in the motion comic as well. And I might say it's so in the movie too. But there are things in the background that you catch as you're watching it and you think, I'm going to have to look at this again to see exactly what that guy was doing and they paid a lot of attention to that. I mean, for instance, I haven't done a lot of new artwork for it, but one of the things that I did was to draw some more vehicles in the background so that when you're in the street scenes, you've always got, automobiles kind of smoothly going by, which again adds to the whole atmosphere of being in the middle of a busy city and really gives you the kind of atmosphere of the place.
Well, that's great. We're getting new Dave Gibbons art then in the motion comic that wasn't there for the graphic novel. That's wonderful.
Well, that's true. As I say, it's the cars, the electric cars. And the other piece of artwork that I drew and tried to draw it in a way that it would blend seamlessly in was the picture of the Minutemen, which Rorschach discovers in the back of the comedian's closet and which we then see in Sally Jupiter's apartment and Hollis Mason's place. That's shown many, many times in the graphic novel, but you never actually see it complete. So I actually drew a complete version of that so that they could, when they zoomed in on it or zoomed out from it or showed a portion of it, it would always be consistent. And that's been integrated into it. And hopefully completely seamlessly. In fact, I even used the very same pens to draw it with as I did way back in the day to draw Watchmen.
That's great. I know you started in British comics, and one of your early jobs was to become art director for 2000 AD, but you had done work before that. Were most of your stories in that 2000 AD format, two-page, four-page, eight-page stories, those types of things?
Not really, and I just have to correct you, because I actually never was an art director on 2000 AD. I have been asked that before, and I think it's one of those things that's on the internet, which appears to be so, but isn't.
Okay.
And I did work for 2000 AD from the very beginning, from the very first issue. And in fact, it was Kevin O'Neill, who is also one of Alan's collaborators, who was actually an art director in 2000 AD.
I see.
But anyway, I did draw for 2000 AD from the very beginning, and British comics have tended to be published weekly.
Yes.
So you would, every week, you would draw four or five pages of the latest installment of an ongoing story. A lot of the stuff I did, although there were episodes of that length, kind of came together into a much, much longer story. But it was actually on those shorter kind of twist ending stories that I first collaborated with Alan. And I think it was where we first discovered, how much we enjoyed working together and maybe laid a lot of the groundwork for our later collaboration on Watchmen.
Another story that you guys did before Watchmen, if my timeline is correct, was that Superman annual for The Man Who Has Everything?
Yes, it is. And in fact, the two things, Watchmen and that Superman annual, were very closely linked. What happened was, I'd Alan and I had been trying to get something going for DC Comics for a while. I was already working for them, drawing Green Lantern, and Alan at that point wasn't working for them. And I quite enjoyed the material I was doing for DC, but I really wanted to do some work with Alan, and we put forward some proposals for things that didn't ever come to anything because they'd already been promised to somebody else. And when I heard that he was doing this proposal for the Charlton characters, I thought, oh, that's something I'd really like to draw. And it so happened that a couple of days later, I was going to go to a convention in Chicago as DC's guest. So at one of the parties there, I went up to Dick Giordano and said, Dick, this thing that Alan's working on, I'd really like to draw that. And Dick said, well, how does Alan feel about that? I said, yeah, he'd really like me to do it. He said, okay, fine, that's yours. So that was Watchmen. And I was really thrilled at that. And I then bumped into, literally a minute or two later, I bumped into Julie Schwartz. And he said to me, so Dave, when are you going to draw me some Superman? And I said, well, anytime you like, Julie, who's going to be writing it? And he said, Alan, he said, anybody you want. And I said, well, how about Alan Moore? He went, yeah, fine, fix it up. So I did go to bed a very happy man that day. And in fact, on the day that Alan and I got together back in England to sort of start the groundwork on Watchmen, we also talked about that Superman story at the very same time. And that was the kind of, that was what we were working on while we were doing the long-term planning for Watchmen.
I think if fans were to take those issues side by side and look at the way you design panels and pages, they would find a lot of similarities in terms of the tools you ended up using for Watchmen. Yeah, I've seen the cartoon adaptation for Justice League, and I know Alan has been interviewed before about what he thought of it. I've never heard your thoughts on that Justice League adaptation for The Man Who Has Everything, if you've seen it.
Oh, well, I thought it was a very successful adaptation. I mean, obviously, they because it was for Saturday morning TV, they had to play down some of the kind of sort of fascist undertones of the Krypton stuff. But I thought, again, the spirit and the feel of it very much came over, and it was wonderfully animated. And it was a huge thrill, just as it had been with the Watchmen motion comic, you know, to see my drawings actually move and to hear Alan's words spoken, you know.
Yes.
And I thought they did a really nice job on it. Plus, we did get a check for it as well. So, yeah, it was good.
How about the narration for the motion comic? Tell me, you know, that guy's got a challenging role, and I think he rises to the occasion. The only time I think it's troubling is when, you know, occasionally it's Sally Jupiter or her mother speaking, that it's going to be a challenge for the narrator.
Well, that's true. I mean, I, again, that was something that I was a little bit unsure about until I heard what he did, and I think he's a tremendously talented actor, and I mean, there are so many characters in there that
absolutely
try and give the subtle nuances of difference between them. It's quite a hard thing to do. And there was a decision also made that the word balloons would be kept on there, which I think, again, is a great help to actually being clear about who's speaking. And I know, yeah, there has been a lot of comment about the male voice for Laurie and for Sally as well. I think, you know, you do have to perhaps employ a willing suspension of disbelief for that. But I think probably the alternative, which would be somebody else suddenly speaking on the track, probably would have been more jarring. So I think that's one of those things that you have to accept as one of the sort of shorthand necessities of the medium, really.
Well, the first chapter came out in late July, and I think was a great success, and I think it was very wise to make the initial episode free for a while as well to get people to sample it and appreciate it. As we're speaking, chapter 2 has been released, and I hear the plan is then the chapters will come out every 2 weeks on Monday, correct?
That's my understanding, yes. And I mean, I do think it was great to give that first episode away, and I was one of the people who downloaded it, and I've got it on my iPhone, and it looks absolutely fantastic on that screen. And I think one of the reasons is that the size of the image there is just about the same as the size of the image in a comic book, so it's got the same kind of clarity and the same feeling of scale. I mean, after months of seeing it, you know, in various versions, being not the finished version, to actually see the finished version in the way that it was designed to be seen really did give me a thrill. And I think it's going to be wonderful to have a new episode of this to look forward to every couple of weeks, in the same way that people look forward to a new episode of the comic book when it came out.
We're in the age of the very early age of digital comics, and the motion comic is a good representation. Are the days of paper, you know, clearly numbered? How do you feel about all of that?
I don't know. I mean, I think any new technology brings exciting possibilities with it. And of course, with something like Watchmen, we're adapting something that was originally drawn for a static medium.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really interesting to see what could happen if you did the original artwork with a view to it later being put into motion, because obviously you would approach it differently. And of course, with the ability to do things on different layers when you're doing computer graphics, it wouldn't be very, very difficult to separate foregrounds from backgrounds and so on. And in the way that they do with other computer-generated material to, you know, amass sort of assets of characters and backgrounds and situations that you could later recombine. So I think I'd be really interested to see once people start to think about that as being a prime medium rather than an adaptation. I think you could get some very interesting stuff done then. And I rather suspect that it will eventually develop its own grammar and its own approach. And I think inevitably some styles will fit the medium better than others. I mean, I think, as I say, the kind of clear style and the flat colouring that I use for Watchmen works very, very well. I've seen some other material as well, which, again, because it's drawn almost in a kind of animated cartoon style to begin with, works very, very well. But no, I mean, I haven't got anything in mind at the moment to do in that particular medium. But I do think it opens up lots of storytelling possibilities and, again, new ways of delivering story material.
Last week on the Entertainment Wires, it was announced that Zack Snyder, the director of the Watchmen film, had had an audience and they ran a few scenes. And you mentioned that you have obviously been part of the film process as well. How much of the film have you seen?
I have seen the entire film.
Excellent.
they did a screening shortly after San Diego Comic-Con, which was a friends and family screening where they asked people who had been involved with it and also people, I think, who they knew they'd get straight answers from and asked us along to have a look at it and critique it. I was absolutely blown away. And of course, it's a very strange experience for me because Zach has been so faithful to so many of the images that we had in the graphic novel that to see them on screen is weird because I kind of visualized them many years ago in my head before I drew them. And now they've been taken from the drawings and made real. And they're rather like what I saw in my head then, you know, so it's got this weird kind of circular feeling about it, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was thrilled by the whole thing, and I could have watched a lot more of it. I think the cut we saw was getting on for 3 hours long, but I think he really has caught the spirit of it and the detail. And again, I think it's one of those things, as we were saying about the motion comic earlier, that one viewing is not going to be enough, you know?
Wonderful.
And I can imagine when the DVD comes out, people are going to be stepping through it frame by frame, you know.
Oh, and I hope I can speak for myself and say that I bet a bunch of fans are hoping that most of that 3 hours are represented on the DVD, because we know how studios like to cut things down, and that's always been the fear of the story, that it is such a grand story that it would be hard to translate to film. I mean, I know people who thought it might make a wonderful HBO series because of the language and the subject matter that it would have to be on that kind of television for American television. But yeah, I it sounds like, and certainly based on what we've seen as far as photographs and the trailer, that Zach has captured the spirit of the story.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think to somebody like Zack Snyder, to call something unfilmable is challenging rather than off-putting. And certainly, I think one of the things I really applaud him for is that he has made a good movie out of it. You know, I for a long time thought that, you know, maybe a 12-part HBO series or a 6-part HBO series would be the way to go. But actually, I think a completely faithful step-by-step, word-by-word, picture-by-picture adaptation probably wouldn't have worked well in that medium. I think that, it's a long movie at getting on for 3 hours, but I think it's a really satisfying movie experience and very, very rich. And I think at the end of the day, I applaud that kind of density than if it had perhaps been given more room and had unfolded in a leisurely kind of way. That will always be one of the great unknowns, what it would have been like as a 12-hour series. But I certainly think as a movie, it holds up very, very well indeed. And it's a kind of experience it's a different kind of movie. I think that people will find it very fresh and very novel and very, very exciting, which after all, you know, is what you want a movie to be.
Well, that's what we love so much about the original comic as well. And from a density standpoint, I'm glad to see that each chapter of the motion comic is as long as it is, because that was a very satisfying 30 minutes to spend on that very important first issue. Is each chapter about that same length of a half hour?
Yeah, I think they work out to be more or less the same. I mean, some chapters are more wordy than others. You know, sure. I was just looking at the almost finished animation for episode 4, which is the Dr. Manhattan on Mars one. And that's quite wordy, but that, again, they fitted it beautifully into kind of 20, 25 minutes. It's weird. It almost seems to translate to a minute per page, you know, which I guess is kind of the speed you would read it at. So it has the feeling of the same kind of pace as the comic book. But again, it is a shorthand version, whereas, you know, I think if you'd done it in live action, it probably, you couldn't have done an issue in 25 minutes. You know, it's strange how different media seem to require different lengths.
You know, obviously part of the story of Watchmen as it is translated to these other mediums is the dissatisfaction that Alan Moore has had with previous works that have already come out on film. And certainly he's made his opinions known about Watchmen. Have you had any personal contact with Alan about what they're doing and both for the film and the motion comic at all?
Sure. Well, I mean, this is a question that has come up
certainly
a few times already, and I'm sure will come up again. But the answer is really quite simple. You know, Alan has had a bad experience with Hollywood in the past, both with what they've done to his material creatively and also in the way that he's personally been treated. And he just made his mind up, actually, before V for Vendetta, the previous movie based on his and David Lloyd's work, that he didn't want his name on it and he didn't want any income from it. And he was quite clear that this was what he wanted from Watchmen. And he signed a piece of paper to have his credit removed and have his money passed over to me, which is not quite as straightforward a thing as you might expect, and is a little bit of a mixed blessing, I feel. But anyway, that was his wish. Since then, I did speak to him a little bit about the book that I've written, which is called Watching the Watchmen, which is about the very origins of how we first worked on the comic book, and he was quite helpful on that. But the last conversation I had with him, he said that he was pleased that I was enthusiastic, but that he didn't share that enthusiasm, and that although he was always happy to talk to me, he really didn't want to discuss Watchmen anymore. So that's fine. If that's what Alan wants, I'm perfectly happy to respect his wishes, and I hope we will continue to have many enjoyable conversations, but they won't be concerning Watchmen. I mean, he has had no input into the movie at all, and that's the way he wants it to be. I mean, I personally, because I am having, so far, as Alan warned me, so far, a good experience with this, that I'm kind of sorry that he can't for once share that enjoyment, but I perfectly understand his position, and certainly, you know, I'm very happy to respect his wishes.
No, I understand, and I appreciate you tolerating me asking this question that I'm sure you'll get from now through opening night of the film when it comes out as well.
Well, that's fine. No, I mean, it's a thing which is a story, and as I say, but it's quite clear, and I mean, at the moment, I'm happy to say that I'm able to be as involved with the movie as I am and still retain Alan's friendship.
Well, it's nice to see much that, like David Lloyd experienced with V for Vendetta, that you are getting the acknowledgement for your equal contribution to this story, which, and I have to tell you too, as an American, I've enjoyed your work on Green Lantern, but even discovering some of your 2000 AD work, like Rogue Trooper, and really have enjoyed your art throughout the years. So it's great to see that a lot of people are going to be exposed to your work through these adaptations, and hopefully we'll follow and try and discover more of your artwork as well.
Well, thanks. I mean, I do appreciate that. And I mean, there is a strange irony about it that in journalistic shorthand, you know, there has often been often references to Alan Moore's Watchmen, Alan Moore's V for Vendetta. Alan is always scrupulous in pointing out that, you know, we did this or me and Dave did that, you know.
Sure.
But it's always been kind of that Alan has been credited with it. It's never really worried me. I mean, members of my family would say, why didn't they mention you? Your name should be on it as well. But of course, the real irony with the Watchmen movie is that it will be my name on it alone, you know.
Yeah.
But by the same token, I mean, I although Alan doesn't want his name on it and doesn't want that official credit, I certainly want to make sure that nobody's under the apprehension that it was me and me alone that was responsible for it. So, it is still by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons, even if it doesn't say so on the packet.
I hope that with the success of the Watchmen motion comic, I understand that there are some more projects down the line. One I would particularly like to see, because I enjoyed the book just a couple years ago, The Originals. And I think that would make a wonderful motion comic, and I'm hoping with a punk ska kind of soundtrack to it. I think you'd have an interesting adaptation there. If you know, that could even be further, you know, colored with some great appropriate music as well.
Well, that's very interesting. I must say that, in all modesty, that hadn't really occurred to me before. But I can see how that could work. And yeah, I mean, I'd love to pick the soundtrack for that, because I think it could be. As you know, I did integrate kind of record labels and stuff into it, because that was so much of the experience that I had when I was growing up. And of course, it'd be really interesting to have some music that was kind of new, but in the style of, you know.
Absolutely.
I could see that would work quite well. And black and white, I mean, I deliberately did the book in black and white just to stand out from all the coloured stuff on the stands. So, I could see that might be quite novel. I'll have to find out my friends at DC and see if we can arrange that.
And another black and white story of yours is being adapted, I understand, to the motion comics. And that is your Batman black and white story. The black and white bandit will be among the stories that they'll be presenting, I hear. Is that correct?
Oh, I understand. Yeah, I mean, and that in some ways was a kind of a dry run for the originals. You know, I used a lot of the same techniques, and the idea of it being in just several tones of grey. It'd be interesting to see how that looks, and if that looks really good, well, then all the more reason to do the originals, I guess.
That's great. And also, in that particular Batman story, the motif is not just in the lack of color, in that the story is in black and white, but so many references in the story itself. And I don't want to spoil for people, but who haven't maybe read it or seen it yet. But that was a really clever way. And again, I really admire the way you are able to tell a story in short form. As you say, those British stories were episodes of a longer story, but you really had to still have a satisfying read within 2 to 8 pages. And it is something that I admire about a lot of you guys, because I think that's a challenging skill that today's comic book writer and artist don't face as much in America.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, perhaps that comes out of the kind of British experience of having to produce 4 pages of solid story a week, or a short kind of 4-page twist-ending story. But certainly, I mean, one of the pleasures I get when I write a story is telling it as concisely as possible, you know, that to boil it down to the least number of words and the most potent images, you know. I mean, that's the kind of story that I always like to read, and I guess that's the kind of story that I always try and do. And it's very interesting, one of my abiding memories of Watchmen with Alan was there was a particular scene that he wrote where I felt there were too many words in it, and he agreed, and he'd been doubtful about it, and he actually rewrote it and managed to say exactly the same thing in half as many words. So I think it's true that the real skill of writing is in rewriting, and something that does give me pleasure is to tell a story, you know, as concisely and economically as possible.
What's coming up for you in comic books? I hear, are you working on Hellblazer 250?
I did write a story for that, and it's the second Hellblazer story I wrote. And strange enough, the first Hellblazer story I wrote was in black and white. It was actually a text story that was illustrated in black and white that came out in an anthology called Winter's Edge a few years ago. So that was about Christmas, and they said that they wanted one for Hellblazer 250 that was set at New Year's Eve. So I thought, okay, well, if I do that, I've kind of covered the whole holiday season there. I really enjoyed writing that, and I'm very pleased to announce that it's being drawn by a friend of mine called Sean Phillips.
Oh, wonderful.
Who I know will make a really nice job of it. He's already been to London taking lots of reference photos, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does with that.
Wow, that's a great combination. I'm a fan of Sean's from his work with Ed Brubaker on Sleeper and Criminal as well.
He is one of those artists, Sean, who makes it look so simple, but he's such a wonderful draftsman. I'm really pleased to be working with him.
What's your next art project coming up, as far as drawing a comic or anything?
You know, I mean, kind of Watchmen seems to have taken my life over again because I'm doing, you know, quite, which I'm kind of pleased about. It's, I mean, I'm doing the consultancy work on the motion comic, and there's a computer game, which I'm also doing some work on, and I'm doing some licensing artwork for DC to make sure that we keep all the characters, you know, on model. And with the various, you know, in fact, I'm off to New York Monday to see some of this footage that you referred to earlier, you know, the kind of half hour version of it, which is being shown to the press. So one way and another, I think from now until probably the movie premieres, it's going to be Watchmen, which takes most of my time. Something else that I have been working on is finally putting together all the Martha Washington material that Frank Miller and I have done over the years.
Absolutely.
And that's all going to be collected together into one really big book. It's actually a much bigger book than Watchmen. It's going to be 500 and something pages.
Wow.
So I'm working on putting that together. And, of course, I've got this Watching the Watchmen book coming out, which I believe... there are going to be printed copies in the world in the next couple of weeks, which I'm also doing promotion on. So it's mainly Watchmen stuff. The stuff that I've got coming out after that, really, not to be a tease, but I really can't say anything about at the moment, although I'm looking forward to doing a bit of writing for other people to illustrate and a bit of illustrating other people's scripts. So, but at the moment, it's Watchmen, Watchmen, Watchmen.
Well, that's great, and I'm glad to hear that you have more writing coming up as well. I enjoyed your work on Green Lantern Corps and your Cap miniseries that you had a couple of years ago.
Oh, thank you.
Cap Lives was wonderful. I hope that when you start your tour for the book, that we have the opportunity to have a longer conversation, because certainly I could go on for hours about all your projects that you've been through the years that I've enjoyed, and I know people would love to hear more about.
Yeah, well, you seem to know almost as much about me as I do, so it's a great pleasure to talk to you anyway, and you know, you've asked me some questions that have really made me think.
Well, that's good. And, you know, seriously, thanks for taking the time, too, during this convention that you're at right now. It's. I should ask you quickly, I must imagine that you've gotten nothing but positive feedback about not only the motion comic, but everything that's going on with all your projects relating to Watchmen.
Oh yeah, I mean, the overwhelming feeling is that people just can't wait to see it. And somebody who's been involved on the inside, I think it's true to say that the feeling on the other side, you know, on our side of it, is we can't wait for people to see it, because I think everybody's very confident that it is very good material and that it's going to really, it's really going to excite people. So, strangely enough, I'll make an admission to you, which is this: that although I'd seen the Watchmen trailer on the internet and I watched it in high definition on the TV, I'd never actually seen it in the theatre, because when I went to see Dark Knight, they weren't showing the trailer with it.
Oh.
And where the convention that I'm at this weekend is being held, there is an IMAX theatre, which is part of the convention building, and I actually got the manageress of the cinema to let me go in just to see the Watchmen trailer on the big film, on the big screen.
Sure.
And I must admit, I was so excited that I wanted to immediately see it again. So, you know, you can see that I am pretty thrilled about the whole thing.
That's fantastic. Dave, I don't want to take more of your time. I want you to get to the pubs and enjoy the evening, because
yes.
I know how a day at a convention can be sometimes. So thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, you're very, very welcome. And, you know, I look forward to talking to you again soon.
That would be wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot.
That's Dave Gibbons. I'm going to hold him to that promise, too, and once things start rolling with his book, Watching the Watchmen, we'll try and get a hold of Dave and have a much longer word balloon conversation. But in the meantime, I thank him for his time, and thanks to the guys at Warner Brothers for putting all this together. Don't forget, the Watchmen motion comic has released its second issue. It's available at iTunes and Amazon Video On Demand. And October 21st is the date when Watching the Watchmen, Dave's book, will be coming out. And of course, sometime in 2009, we'll see that Zack Snyder film as well. Thanks a lot for listening to Word Balloon on this edition. This is John Suntress reminding you that you can find Word Balloon all over the internet. We're at iTunes, at newsarama.com. Of course, our own webpage, wordballoon.com, where you'll find an archive of hundreds of interviews with comic, film, and animation creators. Any questions or comments about the show, you can check out our Word Balloon message board at jinxworld.com, or just follow the link to the message board at our website, wordballoon.com, or you can send me an email, john@wordballoon.com. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2008.